Good morning. Whether you are joining us online or here in the sanctuary, welcome to First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin. We are a spiritual community dedicated to a free and responsible search for truth, meaning, and beauty. I'm Reverend Chris Jimerson, co-lead minister. I am 6 foot, wearing all black, a brightly colored stole, and a strand of white pearls. Draw your own conclusions. Or see Mike Harris after the service for the implications. It is a joy to be with you today. I especially want to welcome you if you are new to the church, if you're joining us remotely, and if you can, please say hello in the comments and let us know from where you're watching the service. If you're here in person, please join us for the social hour after the service. Either way, we invite you to fill out our online visitor form at austinuu.org. Just click on worship and then the link to the form and fill that out. We would love to get to know you just a little bit better. We come from a long tradition of seeing a spark of the divine in every person, and it's in that tradition that I invite you to greet the holy among us this morning, either in the comments if you're online, or by turning to those around you if you're here in person.
I'm Margaret Borden, your lay leader this morning. I'm a white woman in my 70s, of average height, very short salt and pepper hair, eyeglasses, and I'm wearing a blue top, a very colorful orange-dominated skirt, and a hat. My pronouns are she and her. Please join me in the words by which we light our chalice. This is the flame we hold in our hearts as we strive for justice for everyone. This is the light we shine upon systems of oppression until they are no more. This is the warmth we share with one another as our struggle becomes our salvation. Our call to worship this morning is a quote from J. Krishnamurti, a philosopher, speaker, writer, and spiritual figure from India. When you listen so completely to another, you are also listening to yourself, listening to your own problems, to your own uncertainties, to your own misery, confusion, desire for security. We are talking together about what human beings are, which is you.
One of the things that holds First Unitarian Universalists together as a religious community is that we have a common religious purpose. For this church, that purpose is our mission. We put it on our wall. We wrote it together, and we say it together every Sunday so that we might more readily carry it in our hearts throughout the week. Let's do so now. Together, we nourish souls, transform lives, and do justice to build the beloved community.
Good morning. I'm Elizabeth Gray, a 64-year-old woman with short, slightly spiky hair, glasses, and a kind of Western-style long-sleeve shirt on. There's a saying in Spanish, pueblo pequeño, infierno grande. Small town, big hell. Any close-knit community, like our own First UU, can seem peaceful and simple on the surface, but underneath, there's often a world of complexity, drama, and contradiction. I've been a member here for over 30 years, and believe me, I've seen my share of drama. I might have even participated in some of it. But here's the thing. Those intense social dynamics serve a higher purpose. They're part of something much bigger and more important, our mission. Let's not overlook the first word in that mission, together. It's crucial. We're not doing this work alone. Together means with each other. People together, and people, as we know, can be messy. Sometimes small communities, like small towns, can fall into traps. A sense of superiority, closed-mindedness, or a lack of tolerance for those who are different. Yes, we can. And yes, in our worst moments, we can think of ourselves as exceptional, maybe not as welcoming as we'd like to think. But in our best moments, we strive to do better. We challenge each other, learn from one another, including newcomers and those who are different from us, and grow together. That's how we become the change we want to see in the world. Thanks to this church, I've personally grown in ways I never expected. I've deepened my understanding of climate change, anti-racism, ableism, and human sexuality through the OWL program. I've been challenged, confronted my own biases, and changed my behavior. That's the first step to changing the world. Because of this church, I found an on-ramp for social justice, joining programs and activities that are meaningful, evidence-based, and focused on building power through organizing. I've met people and built relationships that have enriched my life and made a difference in others. This church has given me so many joyful moments through music, UBRU, gardening projects, and even some very memorable funerals. And yes, I've had moments where I thought, what am I doing here? These people are driving me crazy. But I always come back to the advice our then minister gave us, my husband and I, when we were considering joining. We were praising his sermons, and he said, don't join for the minister. Join for the community. This is my community. I love it, warts and all. That's why I am pledging my support, because this church gives me the opportunity to live my values and to be part of something greater than myself. In Matthew 6:21, it says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This is where my heart is, with this church. And that's why I give it my treasure. Thank you.
Our reading this morning is titled Listening with the Heart by Gary Kowalski, a white retired UU minister and author of numerous books on animals, spirituality, history, and the environment. Maybe prayer doesn't mean talking to God at all. Maybe it means just listening. Unplugging the TV, turning off the computer, quieting the mental chatter and distractions. Maybe it means listening to the birds and the insects, the wind in the leaves, the creaking and groaning of the trees, noticing who else is out there, not far away, but nearby. Sitting so still, we can hear our heartbeat, watch our breath, the gentle whoosh of air, the funny noises from our own insides, marveling at the body we take so much for granted. Maybe it means listening to our dreams, paying more attention to what we really want from life, and less attention to all the nagging, scolding voices from our past. Or maybe it's all about listening to each other, not thinking ahead to how we can answer or rebut or parry or advise or admonish, but actually being present to each other. Perhaps if we just sit quietly, we'll overhear a piece whispering through the centuries that's missing from the clamor of the moment. Maybe prayer means listening to the silences between the words, noticing the negativity of space, the vast, undifferentiated, and nameless wonder that underlies it all. Maybe prayer doesn't mean talking to God at all, but listening with the heart to the angel choirs around us. Those who have ears, let them hear.
Now let us enter into that time of centering together. A time when we breathe together. And breathing together, we feel one another's loving presence. Breathing in, breathing out, we follow our breath to a deeper place inside. We listen to our inner voice of greater wisdom. We hear the call of that spark of divine that resides within each of us. And breathing together, we enter into a time of sacred silence together, remembering that we also hold sacred human sounds, including those of small children. Breathing in, breathing out. Let us enter into that time of sacred silence together. Now, if you have not already done so, I invite you to light candles. And as we light our candles, to hold in your hearts those in our religious community who may be suffering or in sorrow, as well as those experiencing joy. Now let us enter into that time of meditative quiet and candle lighting, and when our music comes to an end, hold the meditative silence. Now, we light one last candle for all those for whom there is no one to light a candle. Sainthood emerges when you can listen to someone's tale of woe and not respond with a description of your own. So says author Dr. Andrew V. Mason. And yet, listen to these statistics that indicate our sainthood may be a ways away from emerging yet. 75% of the time, we are distracted or preoccupied rather than truly listening. After listening to someone talk, we can immediately recall only about 50% of what they said, even less if we didn't like the subject or the person. 1 hour later, we remember less than 20%. It takes less than 7 seconds for you to decide if you trust someone or not. If not, our primitive brain then filters out whatever else they have to say. Less than 2% of the population has had any education whatsoever on how to listen. We listen at 125 to 250 words per minute, but we think at 1,000 to 3,000 words per minute. And finally, most people are uncomfortable with silence and can only make it less than 10 seconds before saying something or asking a question to break the silence. And yet, 85% of what we learn is through listening, not talking or even reading. And further, 1 in 5 Americans report feeling lonely every single day. And having someone to talk with and who will share with us is a key element for alleviating loneliness. So it seems we too often are not listening to one another, at least not deeply. And not only that, studies also show that most of us, most often, may not be deeply listening to other important aspects of our life either. Things such as our own inner voice and calling, our own emotions, what our own bodies are telling us, nature, God, or that which we consider ultimate and larger than ourselves, the cry of a world that is hurting and needs us to hear and take action. Theologian David Augsburger wrote, "Being heard is so close to being loved that for the average person they are almost indistinguishable." And as our call to worship pointed out, doing the listening, hearing deeply, is essential to our own well-being. It's how we learn and grow the most. It's how we create connection and belonging. It is the way in which we live love. Now, I want to pause and acknowledge that for folks who face auditory challenges, which these days includes me, the language around deep listening might feel ill-fitting. So let's acknowledge the metaphor and respect that for all of us, deeply understanding, respecting, and embracing one another involves all of our available ways of accessing and interacting with the world around us. Telling our stories and feeling that they have been deeply understood and respected is vital to us as humans. As already noted, it is one of the huge ways by which we feel loved. It creates a sense of belonging and acceptance. It's how we process big emotions like grief. It can alleviate suffering and help heal our woundedness. Deep listening is a gift and a blessing we can give to one another. And doing the deep listening is one of the practices that can nourish our own souls and transform our own lives the very most. When we truly hold the story of another, we open ourselves to love. We create love in our relationships. The sense of belonging and acceptance it creates for the person to whom we listen, it also creates for us. And it may touch our own suffering in ways that begin to heal the wounds that we carry. As I mentioned earlier, offering deep understanding to another is a major way in which we learn and grow. When we fully embrace the sacred story of others, we ourselves are moved into the hallowed space that is the ground of our own sacredness. Now, that's pretty abstract language, but how practically does such deep listening help us to learn and grow? Well, probably in too many ways to cover them all today, but one of the big ones is that it helps us overcome one of the major barriers to our own intellectual, emotional, and spiritual development: confirmation bias. And all of us humans share a tendency towards it, at least to some degree. Confirmation bias is when we come to believe something and then start to only take in that information which supports what we already think, while simultaneously ignoring or reinterpreting anything that might contradict it. Sound at all familiar? Let's bring it a little closer to home. Let's say one were to decide something like, oh, I don't know, those ministers talk too much about God during church. Or vice versa, but anyway. Confirmation bias would then cause us to only sit up and take notice every time God or related language gets mentioned during the church service. You know, we're sitting there scribbling in our order of service, talking about that God stuff again. And then we would also ignore or explain away when no or very little such language gets used, never hearing that other folks would like more of a language of reverence. Same thing with worship should follow a set order of service and be exactly 1 hour. Versus no, services should be experimental and vary depending on what needs to be addressed. Or too much boring old classical white people music. Versus no, we have too much newfangled non-reverent music. And then too often we only hear and remember what we don't like and miss out on what we enjoy and love. So the beautiful thing about listening deeply to others is, in order to do that, we have to acknowledge what they think, even if it contradicts what we do. Now, that may not mean that we come to agree with them, but it at least allows information that confirmation bias would have otherwise caused us to ignore. And by doing that, it allows us to open ourselves to learning and growth and a possible expansion of our own perspective. Not to mention a greater understanding of our fellow human beings, their beliefs, potential biases, and preferences. I think of when I studied Buddhism. I didn't become a Buddhist because of it, but I did come to understand some other folks' perspective of their world, and it altered my own practices, enhanced and added nuance to my own theology. And this way that deep listening can break through our confirmation biases, I think can be especially important when we find ourselves in strong disagreement with others. Author, actor, and founder of the organization Urban Confessional, a free listening movement, Benjamin Mathis tells a story of when he held up a sign that simply said, "Free listening," at the Republican National Convention. I want to read you an edited version of his story because I don't think I could do it justice otherwise. He writes, "She was just staring at me. Finally, she walked up and, like a young warrior preparing for battle, said, 'I don't usually do this, but I think abortion is wrong. It's not a form of birth control, and people who have them should be arrested for murder.' I wanted to stop her and tell her my story, that I've sat with two loved ones as they suffered through the difficult decision and consequences of ending a pregnancy. It was a brutal human experience. There were so many things I wanted to say. I wanted to change her mind, to argue, to disagree. It's a natural response. But if my story brought me to my beliefs, then I needed to know how her story brought her to her beliefs. So I asked. Thank you for sharing that. Tell me your story. I'd love to know how you came to this point of view." She seemed surprised by my interest. "Why? Doesn't matter. Your sign said free listening, and so I gave you something to listen to." "Give me more to listen to. They should be locked up. It's wrong. It's not right to go out and sleep with whoever, then just toss away the result like it never happened." She paused, then inhaled the entire world. "And it's not fair. All I've ever wanted to be is a mom. My whole life I knew I was meant to have children. Then when I was 18, the doctor told me I'd never have children. I kept it a secret. And when my husband found out, he left me. I'm alone. My body doesn't work. I'm old. Who will ever love me?" I wondered if she could hear my heart breaking. Sometimes there's nothing to disagree with. I didn't need to be right. I just needed to be there. She wiped away a few tears, gave me a hug, and thanked me for listening. Maybe one day she'll hear my story, but today it was my turn to hear hers. I hope she felt loved. The truth is, our love can hold space for paradox, tension, and disagreement. Our listening must bring in, not edit out. Dare to listen. Dare to be quiet. Dare to seek understanding. In the end, it's the people we need to love, not their opinions. Now, Benjamin Mathis didn't change his mind about reproductive justice that day. He did learn something about our own biases regarding those with whom we disagree. And in fact, those who study it say that the number one way to dialogue with folks with whom we disagree is to start with the question he asked, "Would you tell me your story?" As one researcher put it, "Hear the biography, not the ideology." Now, I want to quickly share a few other important tips to help you listen deeply, whether or not it's a situation of agreement or disagreement. When possible, maintain eye contact and watch for verbal cues. Stop formulating your responses while they're still speaking. You can't keep an open mind if you do. Wait until they pause to ask a question and then only ask questions to clarify. How can you possibly think that is not a clarifying question? Practice the 80-20 rule. If you're talking more than 20% of the time, stop talking and start listening more. Finally, I want to close with two really big ones. Stop interrupting. Author and researcher Diane Schilling writes, "Interrupting sends a variety of messages. It says, I'm more important than you are. What I have to say is more interesting, accurate, or relevant. I don't really care what you think. I don't have time for your opinion. This isn't a conversation, it's a contest, and I'm going to win." And lastly, maybe most vitally, treat listening deeply as a spiritual practice. Because we have to practice it in order to actually do it in our daily lives. As I mentioned earlier, almost none of us were taught how to listen. And one of the ways we can get that practice is right here. In this, our religious community, we can practice with each other, and our small group ministries are designed specifically to encourage deep listening. We can use them as models. What if we made life our own small group ministry? Whether it is with other people, our own inner voice, emotions, or body, that which we consider ultimate, God, the cry of a world that needs us, deep listening is a sacred act. The truth is, our love can hold space for paradox, tension, and disagreement. Our listening must bring in, not edit out. Dare to listen. Dare to be quiet. Dare to seek understanding. Then might our sainthood emerge after all. It's worth a try. Amen.
Please join me now in the words by which we extinguish our chalice. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we hold in our hearts until we are together again.
May we go out today blessed by the words of Minnesota Poet Laureate Joyce Stefan from her poem, How to Listen. Tilt your head slightly to one side and lift your eyebrows expectantly. ask questions, delve into the subject at hand, or let things come randomly. Don't expect answers. Forget everything you've done. Make no comparisons. Simply listen. Listen as if the story you are hearing is happening right now. Listen as if a move might frighten the truth away forever. Don't attempt to copy anything down. Don't bring a camera or a recorder. This is your chance to listen carefully. Your whole life might depend on what you hear. May the congregation say, Amen,
Amen.
And blessed be.
Blessed be.
Go in peace.
This is a production of the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin. For more information, go to our website at austinuu.org.